Welcome to Plain Talk. Plain Talk has a new podcast every 2 weeks with up-to-date information about aviation technologies for general and business aviation. From home to cockpit to boardroom to personal tech, Plain Talk provides informative information for pilots, industry insiders, and aviation enthusiasts alike. My name is Phil Lightstone. I'm a general aviation pilot with over 1,900 hours in my logbook, flying almost every week with over 30 years' experience in the technology and aviation industries. Well, I'd like to welcome Chris Noruzzi, President and CEO of Fly GTA Airlines, to this session of Plane Talk, coming to you from the cockpit. How are you, Chris?
Not bad, sir. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely our pleasure. So tell us a little bit of the history of Fly GTA.
We are, I believe, in my opinion, a very unique company in starting up in this era of aviation. We go back only about right now 3.5 to 4 years, so we're a very recent company that's come out. I started the company back in 2016. When I left my position here at Buttonville Airport, which I was managing the flight operations at that time, was 45 airplanes, 65 pilots, 25 dispatchers, and about 20 ground personnel. And I was also overseeing the tie-down spaces and everything at the airport. So I came back from a large flight background, essentially. And at that time, I'd walked into Buttonville Airport at the age of 15 and asked for a job and somehow talked my way into there and ended up working there for almost 12 years, 11 and a half years. And when they had announced that the Buttonville Airport is closing and things are changing, and I decided to start a company and take all of my experience and start building and see where it goes.
So needless to say, you've got a entrepreneurial background rooted in aviation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's really funny if you talk to a lot of my friends from my early days of aviation. From a very young age, I was just buying and selling everything I could on Kijiji, and if I could buy something in bulk, I was selling it at the airports to some of my coworkers, which was always a joke that I was the big salesman. From there, I rented a small office at the Island Airport, Billy Bishop Toronto City Airport, and just put pen to paper, started building all of the manuals that are required to start an airline and get an air operating certificate. I bought a half ownership in a Piper Seneca at that time and went through the scenario of applying for an air operator certificate. And one of my good personal friends, Edward Pasquale, which I think is a very well-known name, he helped me out with being the first employee of the company, actually, as a chief pilot, because I could not at that time hold all three titles. You can only hold two out of three, three out of four, I should say, under Transport Canada regulations. So I was the accountable executive, the operations manager, and also the director of maintenance, and Ed came on board as my chief pilot. And shortly after that, we hired our second employee and third employee, which was my now business partner, David Nissan. So we started flying together. And it's really funny because, you know, being the sales strategist that I was in the beginning stages of it, before we opened the door for our first flight, we had actually pre-sold 2,000 flights. So from from the
with
first
one day, airplane
with one airplane and two pilots, and at that time David had gone on vacation when we started actually flying, so I was the only pilot, and I was just, you know, riding all of my legal limits and maxing out my duty days and making sure I have this much rest. And
so David, David came back from vacation and said, "What the heck happened? How did we get so? When are we getting the next airplane?"
Exactly how essentially it went down. But once David came back, we were flying and we quickly realized that hey, we need to go for a bigger airplane. And went to, at that time it was, I forget the airport's name, but a small airport in Alberta. We bought a Piper Navajo Panther, flew it back. It was in terrible condition on the interior. So, we ordered all of the do-it-yourself kits for the aviation interiors and just it was really tight by the time we wanted to start flying. So I remember the absolute last night before that airplane came online and we were flying. You know, I was working with someone else on the airplane in maintenance overnight. And by the time we were done, we were an hour away from the first flight on the airplane. So we finished it, released the airplane and signed it out. And we went flying. Well, not myself, but David at that time, along with another first officer, went flying. And we became, you know, Fly GTA from that point on, started transitioning from tourism to scheduled services, then charters, then started going into travel management, travel agencies, inbound tourism, outbound tourism, and just started figuring everything out on a pioneering strategy, basically.
And last year you had 13 aircraft,
yeah,
pre-COVID-19, and I see you've got a strategy that's migrating you from piston to jet and turboprop.
Yeah, what we found was as we moved towards the jet and turboprop scenarios, what became very, very apparent was the dispatch reliability. So having a flight, you know, in the piston world, we always had a backup airplane. There was always an airplane waiting in case something went wrong that we needed to send this one to maintenance. We had another one ready to go, but you know, having high utilization, it became more and more challenging. So turbine is certainly the way to go when it comes to dispatch reliability and being able to build a budget and build scenarios and everything we need to do for flying.
So isn't that the, you know, the Achilles heel to your awesome sales capability, booking those first 2,000 flights with a single aircraft? So as you start building your brand and booking more and more flights, maximizing utilization of the hardware maximizes economic return to you and your shareholders.
That's, yeah, it comes down to, you know, working as efficiently as possible and maximizing utilization on the airplanes. That's really the entire business when you think about it, yeah.
I saw the press release earlier this week about the exciting new routes into Kingston, Ontario. By the way, I grew up in Kingston.
Oh, very nice. Well, I've been spending some more time in Kingston recently, and I love the city. But yes, this is released just a few days ago, but we are starting scheduled service between Billy Bishop Toronto City Airport and Kingston Airport. The main focus is for tourism to start. Essentially, we're trying to stimulate everyone to start traveling and you know, promoting domestic tourism between just the cities that we have here. You know, a lot of people have not been to Kingston. A lot of people, even in Ottawa and Montreal, which are conventional cities to go to, a lot of people have not visited, and we do have a lot of beauty. So the schedules that we're focusing on right now are mainly Thursday to Sunday, covering the weekends. We have hotel stays, we have packages that are included. So the ideology that we have, we've done a promotional rate right now where, you know, in the first 2 weeks, if you make a booking, your flight is going to be anywhere from $49 to $89. It will increase after that. But if you buy a tourism package, then your flight goes down to $39 between Toronto and Kingston. So,
wow.
Yeah, we're hoping that this will be a very good model because it's unique that someone would buy an attraction in Toronto where 100% of the revenue goes into Toronto, and then that same revenue also goes into another city, into Kingston, right? Because we're spending it in two places, basically. So
it's a short 15-minute drive from the airport to downtown, sitting in one of the wonderful bars, coffee shops, enjoying a latte while watching some of the scenic Lake Ontario tourism. I don't know that a lot of folks know that Kingston is at the junction of the Rideau River, St. Lawrence River, and Lake Ontario, some of the most ideal sailing opportunities in Canada. Scuba diving, a lot of wrecks. Of course, you've got the go for a tour of the formidable Kingston Penitentiary.
That's right, which is opening up now again for the tourism season. They've been closed for a little while, obviously, but
as a tourist.
Yes.
Yeah, as opposed to.
But yeah, we have quite a few attractions. We have shuttles set up between the hotels and the airport. So it's been a big logistical play, but the way that we were able to do it is with technology. So that's been a major focus of the company because as we go forward with all of the different branches, you know, we under FlyGTA Group, we have several companies. We have FlyGTA Airlines, Northern Air Solutions, visitcanada.ca, vitajet.com, and also UniReps as well, which is a destination marketing company. We work with other countries and also inbound to Canada. So, having all of these different branches required us to just pioneer the scenario because there is no system out there that's made for a wide options when you have an air operating certificate.
So with under the FlyGTA umbrella, your customers can book short-haul flights, long-haul flights, Canada, U.S., overseas, hotels, tourism, clearly a one-stop organization focusing on tourism.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly everything that you said. Plus the new option, which we're trying to fill a gap, which is a complete underserved scenario, again, is the private jet market distributed public public options. So, right now, if you want to book a private jet, essentially, you have to either know somebody or call a broker or sit down, do a tremendous amount of research to find, you know, the right airplane operated by the right company to take you to the right destination. And this is simply not something that you can go on things like Google Flights or Skyscanner or, to a travel agent. And even the travel agents don't really have systems to book private jets. So we're really trying to fill this this void and this gap that exists now because, let's face it, the airlines having almost destroyed schedules, 90-95% reduced schedules, it's the prime time for private jets.
Well, and, you know, operating during COVID-19, you've been exceptionally active protecting your passengers, your customers, your clientele. I think there's some stats. Typical airline travel, over 300 COVID-19 touch points, and flying FlyGTA takes you down below 10.
Exactly. We offer flights from private terminals or private lounges always, which are called FBOs in the private aviation world. So you do not go through any sort of terminal operations. You don't clear security or customs in the usual manner that you would with an airline. And that's certainly the focus. We have less touch points. Even all of our check-in is touchless. We've really tried to eliminate it as much as we can. And, on the safety front, we sanitize our airplanes between loads and everyone wears masks. Everyone gets temperature checks. Everyone has a questionnaire before they go on a flight. We're trying to do everything that we can in this new world that we live in, which, it's been a surprise and a lot of people have had to adapt to it. And aviation, travel as a whole, I'll say, is the most difficult one to try to manage. But, it's really up to individuals that start to take leadership roles in the industry.
And certainly balancing personal safety with budget.
Absolutely. Yeah. The good part from ours is we're different than the other jet operators that are in Canada, I'll say. We are 100% charter operation. We generally don't do any sort of a management unless it's someone involved with a company. And what that does, and everything being in-house from maintenance to flight operations to planning, to sales, coordination, everything is under one roof. We're very fortunate that we are able to invest in the extra added safety that's needed now.
So, what in a nutshell, what makes FlyGTA different?
It's the core team. Honestly, if you were to ask me, it's the core team and how we all work together. Our median age at the company is generally, revolving around 30 or under 30 generally. So we work sharp, we work fast, we work well together. We try to take politics to a minimum, and it's just a common goal ideology that we all focus on. So, thanks to my team, I would definitely have to say that's the core.
and really focusing on state-of-the-art platforms, state-of-the-art technology, a new way of looking at an old, older industry.
It's funny because this is something that I was almost forced into, you know, having to develop and pioneer has been very rewarding, but it hasn't been without cause. The reason we were forced to go down this these steps was the fact that every time we tried one of the softwares or we tried one of the methods that that we had seen in other companies, we just were at a loss and said, hey, this makes no sense. We have to go to the drawing board and start from scratch. So we did. We've done that in almost every single aspect of our business.
Well, and certainly with a lot of the team's deep technology background, you've embarked on a new ambitious technology uplift. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So we are in a joint venture with a company called Abomas Innovations, Inc., which is a company out of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canadian company. And we've developed an option essentially for, you know, what I mentioned earlier, a travel agency to airline to private jet operation to flight school to everything that's required by Transport Canada. We've developed essentially an all-in solution where your dispatch, your flight following, your regulations, your pilots to maintenance to sales, revenue management, customs, everything, absolutely everything that you can think of is integrated into one scenario. And now the next big play that that we're in discussion with some unknown companies, let's say at the time being, are you know, public distribution of what we've done. So we've made it capable to do so, and that's the next step, which we hope to achieve in the next 1 to 2 months and start playing with what we can do.
So you're, for lack of a better word, your new consolidated flight suite of software platforms really creates an end-to-end ecosystem that allows technology and new processes to displace a lot of people in a, you know, a historic aviation company sense that sometimes just slow things down, adds way more cost.
Yeah, we try to take the as much manual labor and as much human error away as possible. So we have a lot of things that are actually being done with robots online. So, you know, our flight following, when our airplanes land, it's a robot that notifies everyone if, you know, there's overdue or if there's any scenario that we need to be concerned about. We actually have robots monitoring and communicating with us through our phone that, you know, these flights are up. You know, your website, you're having this many buyers today, or there's something wrong on your website, you know, or it gives us a lot of trends and we're able to really analyze a lot of things that we were not before, at least having this team size that we do. You know, if we had a team size of 500 people, I'm sure we would be able to do all of those things, but because we couldn't, we had to be smarter than the ones that had 500 people.
That's ultimately all about time and resources and money.
Efficiency, yep.
And as you said, let's fly smarter,
yep.
Rather than throw a whole bunch of people,
yep.
Money and infrastructure, the people infrastructure that is, you know, at the problem. So, excuse the pun. What's on the horizon for Flight GTA?
Oh, that's an interesting question. So everything that you see developed here today by, you know, the scheduled operation side, the packages, the technology aspect, the operations aspect, and everything we're putting together is essentially a whole new model for an airline, which we hope to achieve within the next 2 years. The next goal is you know, buying Airbus 320 size aircraft, trying to take our models that we've done with cities and provinces here in Canada and take that to the international market, both with ourselves flying our own airplanes and also being, how do I put this, being a connection, let's say, for other tour operators and other countries for that matter, and being able to take more control of what they're doing and reducing all of the fees. So both from a technology aspect and from an airline aspect, we're going to be forward that way.
So I guess with potentially A320s coming online, we're going to need a bigger hangar and runway here at Buttonville.
I wish that could be an option. This would be certainly my first option and, you know, my first home in aviation. But unfortunately, I don't see that as a possibility right now. The only option that I would see would be the C-Series airplanes that Bombardier provides. But they're quite expensive, and the lineup to get them is a little bit difficult, even in these periods.
For those who of our listeners that aren't familiar with Buttonville, we're landlocked, and to increase the runway, we'd have to move a couple of roads, which would be, and the buildings surrounding them. Well, Chris, any final thoughts for the audience?
Absolutely. I just would love to share that as the post-COVID, borders opening up, the travel situation changing, keep in mind that travel is something that you've experienced in the past. It's something that you want to keep going. So support in every way that you can. If it's, planning your vacation ahead of time, if you can afford it to book. But we really, really, as an industry, need support from the public. And if there's any way that you can think of helping, we're all ears, whether it's ideas or just doing your part in helping out. In booking your things, we look forward to flying you.
Chris, thank you so much for being part of Plane Talk. Thanks for listening to this episode of Plane Talk. If you have any ideas for a future Plane Talk episode, please go to the Contact Us page at planetalk.ca and send in your idea. Don't forget to like us at planetalk.ca, our Facebook and LinkedIn pages, and this podcast. And never stop living the dream.